Challenge. Today, this month's learning is sponsored by Ted and Phyllis Kozlov. Today, Shemar Fush Lema Four Moshe Chai Ben Yehudas Rezel Rivka Basara Fega Daniel Yaakov Ben Yehudas and this chus for Achinu Bnei Yisrael. I'm gonna personally record this one. See what comes of it. For Seder. Chapter 10, 10b. Okay, here we go. Okay, so there's one quick thing and one a little bit longer thing I want to show. So in Perek Yud, we started learning yesterday about Nimrod, and in Perek Yud, so Pasuk Ches, Tes, and Yud Aleph, are what we know in the Torah about Nimrod. And what do we know about him? Perek Yud. Psukim Ches, Tes, and Yud. So that would be Kuf Pei Ches and Kuf Tzadi in your in the red Mikros Gedolos, for those of you keeping score at home. We know that you are. So in Pasuk, who is this person? So we know Cush gave birth to Nimrod, or his wife gave birth to Nimrod. Who hechelios gibor baaretz? He began, was the strong person in the land. Who yah gibor tzayid lifnei Hashem? Akenyamar kenimrod gibor tzayid lifnei Hashem. He was considered as great, strong in trapping, was able to trap things, and was very good at it. What does it mean that he began? So Rashi immediately jumps in and gives you all of these interpretations as to that he was this evil, no good, bad person. Right, that pasuk ches lahamrid kol olam ala kodesh baruch who beitzas dor haflaga. Right, that he's the one who advised the dor haflaga. Right, and he's the one who caused the yerida or merid that caused the rebellion of the entire world. And every phrase that Rashi interprets here, he interprets as Nimrod being this evil avodah zaranik, this terrible, terrible person. But if you look at the words of the text, so one would not, you don't necessarily see that. You don't necessarily see, it just says that he was very strong and was a good hunter, and that's it. And then it moves on from there. So Rashi knows that. Rashi is quoting Midrashim. Midrashim are the ones who give him that quote. However, I just wanted to point out that the Ibn Ezra, more of a Pashtun, as we'll see later, he gets labeled that way as well. So the Ibn Ezra, if you look there, says Shaya Bona Mizbechos Umalo Sam Hachayos Ola L'Shem, right? That he built Mizbechos and he offered Korbanos Ola to Hashem. And that's the way to understand the Psukim. That's the simplest understanding of the Psukim. It's just simply that Nimrod built Mizbechos and offered Korbanos on them. Right? And he concludes by saying, Bahadrash Derech Acharis. It's true, the Drash, the Midrashic interpretation, gives you a whole different perspective on who Nimrod was. That might be true, but he's pointing out that Pshat of the Psukim does not indicate that at all. So that's just one interesting thing I wanted to point out about Nimrod. Now I wanted to move on and give the various interpretations as to what is going on in the beginning of the 11th parak when we discuss the Dor Haflaga. Okay? So in the beginning of Parak Yudal, if you move to Pasuk at the page Kuf Tzadi Vav, and then Kuf Tzadi Zayin. So we are told the whole land is Safa Chasud Varim Achadim. Right, everybody is unified. They speak one language. And they go and they find this valley to dwell in. We're going to build this building, and we're going to build it in a strong way. They say, let's go build the city, and this tower that head's going to go to the heavens. We'll make for ourselves a shame, a name, whatever that means, lest we get dispersed over the whole land. And then it says Hashem comes down and sees what's going on, and he imposes whatever Hashem imposes, right? He changes all.
Where did it say they built the stones and fire them? That's before.
That's the Pasuk Gimel. Okay, so that is, and then Hashem comes and he messes up their language. He sees what they're doing, and he messes up their language so that they wouldn't be able to understand each other. Eventually, the project stops and they all get spread out. Right? That's the story of the Migdal Babel. What did they do that was wrong? So we're all, brainwashed by Rashi is the best term, but we're certainly brainwashed by our kindergarten teachers that explained to us that, well, they wanted to put this idol on top, they wanted to do war with Hashem, and they wanted to build this tall tower so that if there's another flood, they'll be able to climb to the top, right? That's the way we all grow up understanding the Migdal Babel. And that, and as opposed to several other things that my kids come home with, I have bigger problems with. I don't have that big a problem. That's the way Rashi interprets the story of Migdal Babel. Nothing wrong with that. So if we just have to understand and learn that there perhaps are other interpretations as well. So to move from Rashi's pshat to across the spectrum, let's then move to the Sforno. So the Sforno here says a couple of interesting things. The Sforno on Pasuk Dalet. So if you're looking in the red Mikdos Gedolos on page Kuf Tzadi Tes, right, the Sforno is the bottom left as the lines become wide. So he says, Umigdal v'roshu b'shamayim v'nasa lanu shem. What did they want to do? So the Sforno says, Nasa shem shetiyah b'migdal. That would be in the Migdal. V'yitzi b'kol hamin ha'noshi shem gavo mekoma v'godol ira, ba'ofen shetaksha v'lokei elokim etzal kol b'nei adam. That he wanted to make sure that that city would be the highest, and that idol would be the highest, such that, v'ale yidushu kulam, and everybody would turn to it there, v'akavana b'ze ha'isa shabolech al osair yim. And the plan was that whoever is in charge of that city is then going to be in charge of the entire world, because he's going to be the biggest, the tallest, the mightiest, the strongest, right? And therefore, whatever happens there, that's going to set the tone and the policy for the rest of the world. So, yes, it's true there was Avodah Zarah involved, but it seems like he's now he's adding a slightly different interpretation as to what the motivation was. The motivation wasn't necessarily the Avodah Zarah itself, as much as may have been political aspirations, which are masked by Avodah Zarah needs, which perhaps is a whole theory, as to how Avodah Zarah is functioning in the first place.
Right.
So that is the Sforno. The Sforno adds in an interesting interpretation. What does it mean that Hashem comes down to see? I mean, wait, that's a problem with Rashi's, that it's all Avodah Zarah based. What do you mean Hashem had to come down to see? Why is that added here? And all the other sins that B'nai Israel have, we don't necessarily see Hashem coming down to see. How does he interpret Vayir Hashem Liros? So the Sforno says, Hine Lashon Hayirida Liros Yomar Ala El Yisbarach Kesheina Inyan Az Roy Lenosh El Mifnei Akilku HaNimshach Ala V'Sofa Inyan. Right, the Sforno says that when do we use this language of Hashem coming down to see? It's when that action which he is seeing is not necessarily the problematic one, but rather what it will lead to is the problematic one. Hashem comes down to see, to interpret the current events. Not just, are these current events good or bad? Are these events enough for me to wreak punishment on? Right? In their own right. But rather, what it will lead to. That's when that language is used. And he comes and gives a few other examples. Kevensoro Mora. So there, apparently, the Gemara uses the language. Amru Yarda Torah Lasov Daitav. That the Gemara's language is that the Torah entered into the end of its knowledge. I mean, comes down and enters into the Bensorah Mora's mind and tries to figure out what's going to be. Right? The Bensorah Mora is the rebellious child who steals from his parents and eats someplace else. Right? That's the Bensorah Mora. So why do we kill him? It doesn't sound too bad. No, we kill him because at the end of the day, it's going to lead to worse things. That's what the Gemara's assumption is. So the same language of the Torah is Yore. The Torah delves into his mind to see what's going to come of it. Right? Interesting. I thought it's an interesting shot. The first time I ever gave a Torah, a Dvar Torah with my own Chiddush, was on Ben Sora Umar. Yeah. That Ben Sora Umar, that we, the Torah makes an assessment based on he's this bad. Now imagine how bad he's going to be. Right? And we kill him for that. Now the Gemara tells us that there never was a Ben Sora Umar. Right? So what's the point of learning this if there's never going to be one? So,
and you're predicting something that never really happened.
And you're predicting something that's going to be that's going to be bad. So my thought was is that as bad as you think your kid is, right? It's not as bad as that kid. Right. The Torah declares that kid there's no hope for, which means your kid there is hope for. You hear?
I'm getting it. I'm just keep on thinking it.
That's the kid that the Torah says there's no hope for. That means if your kid's not that bad, the Torah's telling you that there is hope for that kid.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. Tenth grade me also appreciates it. So continues the...
Yes, you're humanized.
Continues this forno and says, and similarly by stome as well. By stome also it says, we're going to go down and see. Why? Because their evilness... if that's a word, was no worse than anyone else, except for the fact that they were also cruel, that they were worse than all the other ones. I mean, in terms of the, I'm not sure what he, the way I would say this is, in terms of the, if you add up the points of their prohibitions, they're no worse than any other city. But the fact that the level of cruelty that they have, that's what put them over the edge and destined them for punishment.
Yes, but there's a paradox. Don't they say that Hashem didn't destroy them because they were together? Where Time and Noach, everybody was individually stealing. But here they work together, so this is a parallax. So they could be cruel and work together?
What are you talking about? This is Stone. By Stone is the city that was destroyed in Parshas
Vayera. Okay.
So anyways, that's the take that the Sforno has, slightly different than Rashi, but still we call it within Rashi's camp that this is kind of a Avodah Zarah based. The Ramban gives, there's not so much Ramban here. There's one Ramban, and I want to go to the end of that Ramban. So to do that, we have to go a couple pages forward to Reish Gimel. So the Ramban, right, so you see the Ramban is like a couple lines on the bottom, two lines on the bottom, then two lines on the bottom, and then the thick of the Ramban comes on page Reish Gimel. What did they do wrong? So the Anshe HaFlaga, so if you see the bottom paragraph on the right side of the two columns of the Ramban, right? Says the Anshe HaFlaga al Divi Rav Hoseinu Mordim Bivoram, right? That according to the Rabbanan, right, that they rebelled against their creator. Right? Verotfei HaPshat, right? The searchers of Pshat, the searchers of simple explanations. Right, and who does he quote here? Right, the Ibn Ezra and the Radak. Right, so the Ibn Ezra and the Radak omrim shuloya daitem el shi yachem michubarim ki yigi the kasuv daitem pen nafutz. Right, that all they wanted to do was to be together. Right, lest we get nafutz, lest we get spread out. That the goal was only that we to be together, and so what's wrong with that? Right? There's nothing else in the pshat of the pasuk about that, right? The pshat of the pasuk is, what was the goal of this? That we could all live together. So that sounds okay, right? What's wrong with that? So says the Ramban, v'im kedvar miyu tipshim. He says, but if that's the case, then those people were stupid. He's not talking about the Ibn Ezra and the Radak. He's the people in the Dor HaFlaga. Because how could it be that one city is going to be enough for the entire world? Not that crazy. In those days, I don't know how many people contain the entire world. But I saw somebody explain, because the bigger you build a tower, the wider its foundation is going to have to be.
Right.
And the wider the foundation has to be, right, the more distant people in the city become. That's the paradox that he has here. The higher you go, the more distant people will become from one another. That's what it means that they were tipshim, that they didn't plan correctly.
I don't know. It's appropriate, but I used to study somebody, and he said, as science evolved, when man advanced, usually you'll have a dictatorship following, like man controls nature, and then the guy that controls nature tries to control man. And this is a classic example. Well, it starts, the classic technology was, they built bricks.
Okay.
The bricks were, well, first up, bricks are controversial, stone and wood. Stone and wood, you have to work. Bricks, you design it, and they fit perfectly together, like a logical system.
So what?
No.
What does that have to do with this? Yes, quick. Otherwise, you can have a court at the end.
Which has superiority. They were all the same. All the bricks are the same. You don't have to work them. And then they changed their nature by firing them. So in a way, they made a product better than God. The brick was...
Okay, I don't know. Save it till the end.
Sorry, sir.
Save it till the end. Oshema hayu choshim shelo yifru v'shelo yirbu v'zera rishiyos yichras. Or maybe their concern was not necessarily about how wide the place was going to be, but rather that by everybody gathering together, they're not going to increase around the world. I mean, they're supposed to spread out. That's part of the idea. And you're going to cover the whole land. So you will stay in one place. That's not going to happen. So you can even read this as Hashem coming and making them speak different languages and making the project, right? It's not necessarily a punishment. It might just be a consequence. Or it might just be Hashem kind of changing the Bria to make sure that his goals get realized. Right? The idea that everybody's going to just be together is not what Hashem's plan was. So we'll just make a slight manipulation so that the world continues in the way Hashem foresees it. So then the Ramban comes and says, "Aval hayadua peirusham." This is obviously the pshat. We'll see how obvious. Yavin kavanasam yimashenemar v'nasa lanushim. That all comes from the idea that we're going to make for ourselves a name. Okay, v'yeda kama hashir sheyizmu b'migdal lasoso v'yavin kol inyun. And we're going to know the amount about how we're going to make the Migdal, and we're going to build it. And we're going to understand the whole thing. Why? They had a bad thought. And the punishment that they are going to be spread out with different languages and different lands was Mida Keneged Mida, because they were cutting down the shoots. What does that mean? That they were uprooting the whole essence of Emunah. How are they uprooting the whole essence of Emunah? So he continues. V'hinei, chatam dom elechet avihem. That their sin was like the sin of their forefathers. V'shem b'shvil zed darshu. And this is the understanding of the Medrash. Asher banu v'nei Avraham. Right, that the b'nei ha'adam, the sons of Adam built. Amar Rebbe Barachia, ma b'nei chamarya b'nei gamalia. What? What do you mean b'nei Adam? What, that he thought that they were donkeys or that they were camels? Right? Ela banoi da Adam kadma. Rather, they were building on the original Adam. How are they building on the original Adam? V'histakil. And notice this, says the Rabban. Ki b'chol inyan ha-mabul hiskar Elokim. That the entire parsha of the Mabul, Hashem is known as Elokim. U'v'chol inyan ha-flaga hiskar shem ha-miyuchad. And for this whole issue, with regard to the Migdal Bavel, he is known by the shem ha-miyuchad, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Hashem is constantly referred to here as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So by the Mabul, he's Elokim, and by here he's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Right? Ki ha-mabul b'avur ashcha. Was the Mabul was about destroying the land. And Haflaga was about uprooting the whole essence of faith. Therefore they were punished b'shmo ha'gadol. This is why God had to come down, so to speak. Similarly, by the traits of stone. And if you really understand, you would understand what I'm talking about. How many people understand what he's talking about? Yeah, unclear what he's talking about. What? So this is a classic example, right, where the Ramban kind of gives you, alludes to something in Kabbalah.
Right.
And says, and those that know, right? And those that don't know, right? So I went to take a look this morning. You may have noticed, I skipped that. I took a look in the Art Scroll Ramban about how they would explain this. And the Art Scroll Ramban skips it. The Art Scroll Ramban has it in the Hebrew section, but this is one of the places where they say, you know, the understanding of the rest of the Ramban is beyond the purview of this translation. Okay, so that in its own right is just to show you this is an example of that, but I'll give you I looked at it again, I tried working on it a little bit to figure out what the Ramban is talking about, and I think what he means is, or at least the beginning of what he means is that the Dor HaMabul was sins against God. I mean, it was all a denial of that God is in charge at all. Elokim, as we learned when we were learning Bereishis, the word Elokim is the idea that God is the king and we are the subjects. God is the commander, we're the commandees. Right? And that was just a denial of God's right to make a commandment, and therefore we are punished by the entire world being destroyed. Here, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the idea of self. Right, the idea that God exists everywhere with, you know, everything, that everybody has an neshama that's sort of a piece or a ray or a reflection or something emanating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. So the Dor HaFlaga, where everybody, right, Nasalanu Shem, we're going to make a name as a group and deny each person their individuality. Right, nobody is going to be an individual anymore. It's going to be separate and distinct from that. So that's why it's Yudke Vavke, that it was a denial of the God's essence within the individual, right? So now that idea of that it's that the Dor HaFlega represents a denial of the individual, so that is not my idea. That is the famous idea of the Netziv.
Really?
The Netziv, really, like you're like sad. Is that okay?
No, okay? That's what I'm trying to bring up. So, the same point that I was getting, I got to say, you know, I'm blown away.
Okay, so the Netziv, and you know, people are given this year, they point out that the Netziv grew up and lived and thrived under a difficult government, under the Russian government, under the Bolsheviks and, you know, communism, all that kind of stuff. So what does he say? So says the Safa Achas, the idea of one language, says the Netziv, V'zehu neged ratzu Hashem sh'amar sh'ratzu ba'aretz v'rabu ba, right? So he starts off by saying that's against the will of Hashem, that everybody should be like the same person. And then he says, where the p'nei kol ha'aretz, he says, what was the concern? Lest they go to another land. Umuvan shezeh yashayach l'dvar machin m'sheh b'neihem, that this is connected to the ideas that connected them. U'v'asher ein deos b'nei adam shavim, chashish lo yatsu b'nei adam midei azu, v'yu b'machshav acheres. Al-Kain, hayu mashkichim shelo yatsa ish mi yishuv shelahem. They wanted to make sure that everybody remained the same. That's why nobody could spread out. That's why nobody could go anywhere else. Because everybody had to remain the same. And somebody, Nimsa, hayu dvarim achidim shebineihem l'roet sheichlitu larogis mi shelo yashuv kedaitam. To the point that if somebody wasn't thinking like them, they would kill them. Right, they would kill them in order to deny that there was another possible approach. So perhaps that is might be a little bit about what the Ramban is alluding to. Right, that the while the Dor HaMabul, right, was punished because they denied the mitzvos of Hashem, the commandments of Hashem, right, the responsibility of Hashem, and therefore God is referred to as Elokim, right, the Dor HaFlega was a denial of the personal God, that everybody has a personal relationship to Hashem, and therefore people could have unique characteristics and unique facets and be different from one another. Right? That is a denial of an individual's by us saying, well, we all think this way and you think that way, so therefore you're excluded, you're wrong. That's a denial of that person's godly self, and that's why God here is referred to as Yudke Vavke. And perhaps, again, I don't know for sure, I'm not an expert, but I think that might be what the Ramban was alluding to. Okay,
awesome.
Stop here. Shoot, my thing stopped.
One name.
I never started the recording.
Oh.